Think for a moment about a beautiful, majestic place on the earth. You might think of a place like Yosemite National Park. Here's a picture of Yosemite. I think that's Yosemite. That's what the internet told me. I think that's Yosemite. But think of the wonder and creativity of such a beautiful place. Think about how God's good design is on display with such beauty. Now imagine that someone were to bulldoze all those beautiful trees. They used dynamite to level all those majestic, mighty mountains. And they used trucks full of dirt to fill in all those wonderful lakes. Imagine that they did all that in order to put in a retail store or a parking lot or a solar farm. That would be tragic, wouldn't it? That would be an irresponsible way for humans to treat the creation of God. Brothers and sisters, this is what has happened to God's good design for gender and sexuality. God has given us something good and beautiful, and we have mishandled it and we have twisted it. However, all hope is not lost. God is a God of grace and restoration. And I want that to set the trajectory for what we will learn today in part two of our series called Difficult Topics for Our Day as we talk about gender and sexuality. We desperately need God every day, but we really need God today as we talk about another difficult topic. So would you join me in prayer? I just want him to speak to us. I don't want you to hear from Pastor Matt. I want you to hear from the Lord God. And so let's just pray and ask God to speak to us this morning through his word and through his Holy Spirit. Join me now in prayer. God, we need to hear from you this morning. These topics are difficult for me to preach. They may be difficult for some folks to hear. Lord, someone might hear the things that are in your word and totally disregard it because it's difficult for them. God, I pray that you would prevent that. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak so powerfully to us that we cannot help but accept and embrace what your word tells us. What's more, God, I ask that you speak clearly to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you stamp out any of my preferences, my prejudices, Lord, and that you just let your word speak. Lord, we need to hear from you. Would your Holy Spirit do a mighty work? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we journey through this topic, I want the Bible to point us to four biblical truths. Again, if you're a guest here, I know we have several guests here today, and it seems like anytime I'm nervous about preaching something, that's when all the guests come. So we're glad you're here. We really are glad you're here. But I want you to know something. Our church, really, we are imperfect, but we really try to discover what the Bible tells us. And we try to do that. That is our guide. The Lord God is our guide through his word and through his Holy Spirit speaking to our word. So I want to look at the Bible and see what the Bible tells us. And we really have four biblical truths that can speak to us this morning because we don't need to be our own guides. Trust me, I have gotten lost more than once on my own. We don't need the culture to be our guide. We need the Lord God to be our guide. So let's see where he will take us today. Let's see this first biblical truth. Biblical truth number one, God designed gender and sexuality. God designed gender and sexuality. God had a specific purpose and plan when he created everything. Not just humans, everything. I've often thought, God, what were you planning when you created the mosquito, right? What were you thinking, God? But he's so much wiser than I am. There must be a purpose somewhere. Or maybe the mosquito was much better before sin came into the world, perhaps. Maybe they gave blood before sin came into the world. Now they take it. But here's my point. God has a plan for everything, including human beings. We did not evolve into becoming male and female. God created us that way. Don't take my word for it. Listen to what God himself says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him." You see, essentially, God made the first man and thought to himself, well, this creature is not quite complete. He needs something else. And I would say, thank you, God. He gave the man a woman, and he gave the woman a man, right? This is God's design. So God made another human being, and he called her woman. Genesis 1:27 says this, "So God created man," that would be human beings. God created humanity in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Could it be any more clear? He created them male and female. God did that. That was God's design. You see, God not only created humans, he created specific types of human beings. Now, I do want to be sensitive. I just want to acknowledge this. There is a very, 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 very small percentage of humanity who are born with mixed up chromosomes, okay? The chromosomal disorders come in all shapes and sizes, and they can cause all types of problems for humans. One of those problems is related to gender. There are some actual chromosomal problems that are related to gender, but I want you to know that is less than about 1 to 2% of all human beings. So here's another way of looking at that. 98 to 99% of all human beings are clearly born male or female. And not only did God create gender, he also created sexuality. Okay, now we're talking about two things here, right? That's why the sermon's called Gender and Sexuality. That's two things. So he created us male and female. He created us in a specific way. Nothing we do changes that. That's the way God designed it. But he also created sexuality. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, "This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds," or some translations will say clings, "bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh." Here's what I want you to pay attention to here, okay? Some of you may already be thinking, I know where he's going with this, but you may not know where I'm going with this. I want you to pay attention to the components of what we see here, okay? A man, a woman, a marriage, and a bond. A man, a woman, a marriage, and a bond. You see, God's design for sexuality is a man and a woman bonded in a marriage relationship. And there is no exception. This is God's design. And we'll get to that no exceptions part in just a minute. There's more to biblical sexuality than this passage, and I don't have time to go into all of it. There's more to biblical sexuality than this passage, but listen, there's nothing less than this passage. This is the foundation for human sexuality. A man and a woman bonded in marriage. This is God's good design. Brothers and sisters, God created sexuality. It was his plan. And it was his design. God did not create humans and say, well, I hope they just figure it out. We probably could have, by the way. But that's not his design. God said, no, I have a plan and a purpose for how sexuality should work among human beings. And it is a man and a woman bonded in marriage. That is God's good design. Now you might think, well, that's the Old Testament, Pastor. We don't really live that way anymore. First of all, that's not true. The Old Testament is the foundation upon understanding the gospel. But let's look at the New Testament. Let's see what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6, Jesus says this. Haven't you read? He's talking about the Old Testament. Haven't you read, he replied, that he who created them in the beginning made them male and female. And he also said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Now, I want you to pay attention here. What Jesus is doing is he's quoting the Old Testament, but then he's adding his commentary or his comments to that. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, but he's adding something to that. Jesus would often say something like this. You have heard it said, but I say to you, which is basically like you misunderstood this, but I'm going to bring clarity. Jesus didn't do that this time, did he? Jesus said, you have heard it said, and I'm going to add more to that and affirm that. That's what Jesus did. He didn't say, you have heard it said, one man and one woman in a marriage relationship, but things have changed now. I'm here to tell you the truth. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, yeah, what you heard was good. What you heard was right, and I'm affirming that. And I'm saying what God has joined together, let no one separate. You see, church, we must understand that God's design for gender is male and female. And God's design for sexuality is one man and one woman bonded in marriage. God has a design. That's biblical truth number one. Biblical truth number two, what God designed is good. What God designed is good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says this, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Isn't that awesome? God's design is not bad. It's good. In fact, Genesis says it's very good. Listen, young people in the room, listen. God has a good design for you. Catch that. Young people, God has a good design for you. Old people, God has a good design for you. God has a good design for you, and it is very good. You see, sometimes when we think of discussions on gender and sexuality, we think of restrictions. We think, well, this is bad. This is no fun, but that's the wrong way of seeing it. God has a very good design for you. And when you do it correctly, it is very good. It is great because it's God's design. Psalm chapter 104, verse 24 says this, how countless are your works, Lord. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Look at Psalm 18, chapter 30, or verse 30. It says, God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So here's what I want you, I just read three passages for you. Let me help summarize for that for you. God's design is done with wisdom. God's ways are perfect. The things that come from God are good and perfect. Isn't that great? When you think about what the Lord is doing, he's not foolish. He's not mean. He is wise. He is perfect. He is loving. Everything that's good on this earth is a gift from God, and everything that is given to us from God is good. So let me be more clear about what I'm saying here. Boys and men are designed by God, and that is good. Boys and men are good. Girls and women are designed by God, and that is good, and girls and women are good. The sexual relationship between a man and woman bonded in marriage is designed by God, and it is good. We ought not be ashamed of that topic, by the way. It is given to us by the Lord God. Some of you say, I don't like talking about this stuff in church. Well, I didn't ask you this time, okay? This is what the Bible tells us, and the Bible says it is good. The Bible affirms these realities over and over and over again. Listen, every human being, you see, sometimes, let me just tell you, I used to be a youth pastor for a long time, and I loved it. I love working with youth. I miss it. But people think that youth have all these crazy issues going on. Let me just tell you, it's the same with adults. It's the same with adults. They have crazy issues as well. If you can figure out youth, you can work with adults, okay? Because they're basically the same, they just have more money. That's all it is, okay? But here's the thing. I want every adult. This is not just for the youth. This is not just for the children. This is for everybody in this room. Listen. God has a good design for you. God has a good design for you. And so many people in this world have missed that message. And a lot of that is because the church hasn't taught that message. God has a good design for you. The way that God designed you is good. The plan that God has for your life is good. And that leads to the third biblical truth. Departing from God's design is sinful. Departing from God's design is sinful. Now, I don't think that it's a waste of our time to define what we mean by sin. Sin actually means missing the mark. You know, some might compare it to an archery term. You know, if you're shooting at a target and you miss the bullseye, that is called a sin. But specifically, when it comes to sinning against God, what we're talking about here when we speak of sin is to miss God's mark or to reject God's design or to not fulfill God's standard. So the idea here is when we depart from God's ways for our lives, it is sin. When we depart from God's good design for our lives, it's sin. So God's design is good. To depart from God's design is bad. Or you might say it's sinful. That's just the reality of the world in which we live. That's why our world is messed up. Because people have departed from God's design. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, when sin came into the world and the first human beings were deceived, what did they do? They departed from God's design. He said, don't do this. And they said, we think we'll do that. And it turned out terribly for them. Not only that, the Bible says all of us have departed from God's ways. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That all includes you. And it definitely includes me. We have all sinned. So God's good design is good, but going away from it is bad. So let's just do a little illustration here. Let's pretend that this oval represents God's design. That first one arrow wasn't supposed to be there. I messed that up. That's my fault. Because I sinned, okay? Pretend that arrow is not there, okay? The oval represents God's good design. We can say the oval is good. But listen, every time we break away from God's design, it is sinful. It is bad. So I have a few examples here. Gender reassignment. That's the first one there. That is bad and sinful. Gender reassignment is bad and sinful. Listen, transgenderism, bad and sinful. Some of you say, preach it, Pastor. I'm not done. Premarital sexual relationships. It's bad and sinful. Extramarital sexual relationships, bad and sinful. Homosexual sexual relationships, bad and sinful. Sexual abuse, bad and sinful. Pornography is bad and sinful. Having multiple partners is bad and sinful. Pansexuality, some of you don't even know what that is. It is bad and sinful. You see, I could go on. We could put arrows up here all day, couldn't we? And you know, some of us are tempted to think, all these problems just started in the last few years. That's foolish. These problems have been around since Genesis chapter 3. We have rejected God's good design for sexuality ever since the beginning. We're just finding more ways to do it. We're finding more ways to break God's good design. That's all it is. We've been doing it ever since the beginning. And you see, sometimes we're so narrowly focused that we don't realize that all departures from God's good design are bad and sinful. We like to pick on certain ones, say those are really bad, but what I used to do, that's not as bad. No, to go away from God's good design is bad and sinful. And I want you to hear me. It's not about breaking a list of rules that God has for you. God did not create you to give you a list of rules and hold you down. It is about missing out on God's good and perfect design for you. God gave you this design so you could be happy and you could flourish. He wants you to be all that he created and called you to be as a human being. And trust me, nobody knows what's better for the creature than the creator. He knows how we operate much better than we do. And so he has a good design for us. Now, some of you might think, yeah, but does the Bible really say specifically these types of things are sinful? Well, yes, it does. Listen to just some of what God has said to us in the Bible. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says, "You are not to sleep with a man as with a woman. It is detestable." Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says, "For this reason, God delivered them over to their disgraceful passions. Their women exchange natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. The men in the same way also left natural relations with women and were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 says this, "Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral person," by the way, that includes all sexual sins there, "no sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom." I could go on. The Bible speaks very clearly against sexual sin and sexual immorality. Let me just tell you, for people who say the Bible doesn't really condemn these things, that is either completely ignorant or they're lying to you. The Bible is so clear on this. By the way, the Bible's been written for a long time. It hasn't changed. Our culture has changed. The Bible hasn't changed. Church, we must understand, I know that we live in a shifting culture. I understand that. I'm not terribly old, but I'm getting there, okay? Look at my beard. It's getting really white. I've been on the earth for a while. I have lived long enough to see things shift in our culture that were once called good that are now called bad, and were once called bad and are now called good. What's more, I had the honor of being a missions pastor in my previous church, and I traveled all over the world, literally all over the world. And I can tell you what is good in 2025 in one culture is bad in 2025 in another culture. Well, which one's right? They can't both be right. They can both be wrong, but they can't both be right. But you see, our media and our politicians, they seek to sense how the wind is blowing and adjust their moral compass to whatever is popular and accepted. Have you ever noticed that? One thing that is totally bad, according to the media and politicians, not so bad the next 10 years later, right? Why is that? Because culture is shifting. Things that are accepted and popular are shifting. What is acceptable at one point is not acceptable at another. Trends come and go. Just look at fashion. I mean, things that were popular when I was in high school are now popular again. I have a chance to be cool all of a sudden. Yes, you're right? And so these things, these trends come and go. And what one culture accepts is different from another. However, listen, church, the people of God do not base their lives on shifting cultural trends. That is not our foundation. I want you to know that we're not trying to be hateful to any particular group of people. Oh, I want you to hear something from me, church. No one should accuse you of being hateful and bigoted and be correct when they say that. I'm not saying no one should accuse you of it. I've been accused of it. I was like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm the most fun guy ever. I'm not hateful. I'm not bigoted. That's dishonest and disrespectful if someone says that to me. And I hope it would be true of you too. First of all, I hope they don't say it to you. I don't want anybody to go through that. But if somebody says it, it better not be true. The people of God should not be hateful. We should be loving, grace-filled, joyful people who point people to the truth of God's word and the depth of God's good design for them. The Bible does not single out one particular group of people to pick on when it comes to their preferences or temptations. We all have different preferences or temptations, and the Bible condemns all of our sin. Not just one type of sin, all of our sin. The Bible condemns any twisting of God's good design towards gender and sexuality or anything for that matter. We're not being hateful. We're trying to be faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to God's good design for His creation. We're trying to lean into what is good. So don't accept that lie from our culture, because I know what some of you are going through. You're thinking, Pastor, I think I understand what the Bible says. But you don't understand the workplace I'm in. Or you don't understand my family. Or you don't understand my friends. Or maybe you don't understand my parents. Like, I want to be faithful to the Word of God. But I feel like I'm being hateful. They're calling me hateful. They're telling me I'm a bigot. Don't buy into that lie. Hey, let me just tell you something in case you didn't know this by now. Just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true. Okay? Just because somebody says something doesn't mean it's true. Show yourself to be loving and joyful and full of grace. I also want to say something else. If you are giving in to any of these sexual sins or any twisting of God's good design for gender, you are missing out on what is good. You're missing out. However, there is hope for you. And that takes us to our final biblical truth. The gospel helps us recover God's design. The gospel helps us recover God's design. Some of you may remember this from the three circles. Okay, recover and pursue God's design. That's from the three circles gospel evangelism tool. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I want to encourage you, go to our website, go to resources, go to sermons, go to sermon by series, click on gospel tools for gospel people, and go to the three circles. I'm impressed that I was able to do that. But I want to go back to a passage we read just a minute ago, and I want to read one more verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 this time. It says this: do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom. And some of you used to be like this. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to stay in our sin. We don't have to stay separated from God's good design. Any of those sexual sins I named earlier, or any other that you can imagine, you do not have to stay there anymore. Also, listen to this. Jesus did not come to condemn those in sexual sin. I want you to hear that clearly. You might say, whoa, wait a minute. How do you know that? I'm glad you asked. Jesus did not come to condemn those in sexual sin. He came to set them free. Listen to the most famous verse in all the Bible and the one that comes right after it. John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through him. You see that? See, some of you who are in sexual sin or gender confusion, you have felt condemned by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that is a shame. Jesus did not come to condemn you. He came to save you, just like I needed to be saved, just like everyone in this room needed or needs to be saved. That is why Jesus came, to set you free from your sin and to show you the good and gracious and mighty plan of God for your life. God does not want to condemn you. He wants to save you through Jesus. I want to share one more passage with you. You may recall the moment in John chapter 8 when there was a woman caught in adultery. Some of you may remember this passage. The law said that this woman should have been stoned to death. That is what the Old Testament law said. When someone's caught in adultery, they're to be killed by throwing stones at them. It's just a big tragedy. And these scribes and these Pharisees, who were some of the elite Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, they were trying to trap Jesus. They were trying to trap him to where he either said, this woman has to die, or this woman, or Jesus is not going to follow the law. They're trying to trap Jesus. They always tried to do that, but they never could. And here's how Jesus responded. In verse 7, Jesus said to these scribes and Pharisees, the one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her. Don't you wish you had that kind of wisdom? Man, I wish I could speak that way to people. I can't. Jesus was so wise. He said, the one without sin among you should be the first to throw a sin at her. Here's what I want to say to us, church. None of us are without sin, are we? None of us is without sin. Whether it's sexual and gender-related sin or some other sin, we have sin in our lives. However, we should not stay in our sin, should we? You see, people will come to me and they'll, you know, sometimes people feel like when they're convicted of their sin, they feel like that's a bad thing. And they say, Pastor, I'm just living under such conviction. I say, well, good. And they're like, what? And I say, you don't want to not be convicted of your sin, do you? I mean, if you have sin in your life, you should feel badly about that sin. And then what should you do? No longer live in that sin. The word repent means to turn away from sin. So you turn away from that sin and you turn to Jesus. Some of y'all say, there's more to this story, right? There absolutely is. I love the rest of it. Look at verses 10 and 11. Woman, where are they? All those men left. Jesus says, has no one condemned you? No one, Lord, she answered. Neither do I condemn you, said Jesus. But that's not the end, is it? Jesus says, go and from now on, do not sin anymore. You see, Jesus did not set us free so we could continue to sin. Jesus is saying, no, God has a good design for your life. Turn away from the sin and turn to the good design that God has for you. Turn to Jesus. And here's what I want you to hear. The gospel of Jesus Christ can rescue us from sin and bring us back to God's good design. Some of you in here today, I'm totally convinced that you are dealing with some sort of sexual sin. Something is happening in your life, and you know it's wrong, and you know it's not God's design for you, and you are convicted of it, and you might even be living with the fear that you can never be set free. You can be set free by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He can rescue you from sin, and he can show you God's good design for your life. The good news, the gospel, that word means good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ will help you recover God's good design for you. That takes us to our bottom line for the message today. God has a good design for gender and sexuality. Church, let us not base the standards for our lives on the cultural confusion of our day. By the way, some people just live in fear. Oh man, our culture is so messed up, which it is, that we're never gonna recover. I always say, just wait, just give it some time. People are gonna realize some of this stuff is just foolish. And some of that's already correcting. People are starting to realize, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't let men play women's sports. People are starting to figure some of this stuff out, right? Because the shifting tides will just keep on shifting. But the people of God must look at God's word. Let us not base our standards on culture or trends. Let us not base our standards, listen, on our own preferences or our own temptations. Let us base them on God's good design. Here's something I want to say, too, that I think is very important to say. There is a special calling for some people in this life to a calling to singleness. This was a case for two really cool people in the Bible. Their names are Jesus and the Apostle Paul. Those are pretty cool people. If you're going to try to be like someone, those are two really cool people to try to be like, Jesus and the Apostle Paul. This calling is referred to as celibacy. It's a fancy word to mean someone who is committed to a lifetime, not just singleness, but godly singleness. These people, I'm just going to tell you, these people are incredible. And I want you to hear that from me. These people are incredible. If God has called you to singleness, take joy in that. That is God's good design for you. And you should take joy in that design. For most of us, that's not the case. There's something real funny. When I was in Bible college and seminary, there were a lot of guys, 19, 20, 21 years old, and they would say, God's called me to singleness for life. And then they found a girlfriend and everything changed. There's a lot of guys called to celibacy when they're in their early 20s, okay? But God has really called some people to that. And that's a special group of people. They're like the special forces of Christians. And I think it's awesome. God did not call me to that. I know for sure. Because I'm married. But God has called some people to that. And here's what I want you to do. I wanted you to hear that from me. But here's what I want to do. This is a weekly challenge for all of us. Challenge yourself in this way. Help recover God's good design. Help recover God's good design. In your own life, turn from your sin and turn to God's good design for you. In your own life. That's where we need to start. If you want to change the culture, if you want to change the world, if you want America to grow closer to Jesus, start in your own life. And then go from there. Discover what God's design is through his word. Discover what God's design is through your fellowship and interaction with other Christians. Discover what God's good design is by being led by the Holy Spirit of God. Also in the lives of others. I talked about this last week, right? We should advocate in our culture for Christian principles. But what's more, not just that, not just advocation for principles, but in our interactions with individuals. Help them see the beauty of God's good design. You know, I don't think this is the only reason. I've heard some preachers say this, and I want to be careful. This is not the only reason, but I think one of the reasons that maybe gender and sexuality is so messed up in our culture is because the church hasn't really given them a good picture of what that looks like. We have a lot of issues in our own relationships. We have not demonstrated one man, one woman bonded in a marriage relationship. And so show people what it looks like. Wherever you are now, don't live in the past. Don't live in the guilt of your sinful past. Wherever you are now, from this moment forward, start pursuing God's good design for you. Pray for others. Love others. Share with them the truth of God's word and model for others God's good design in your life. As we come to a conclusion here, I want to just share with you. Hey, let me just say something funny. I'm always looking at the clock. Did y'all know that? Some of you are like, oh, I didn't know you ever looked at the clock. But that was a joke. But we did something on Wednesday night where I said, hey, if you want to share something with the pastor that you wish pastors knew, please share that. And someone said, if you feel like you need to preach longer, just keep going. All right, here we go. So, because I'm looking at the clock and I know I should be done. But here's what I want you to hear from me. Some of you have listened to this, and I hope all of you have. And maybe God's taught you something, maybe God's shown you something. But you might think, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good when it comes to gender and sexuality. And maybe you are. I think I'm doing pretty good in my life with gender and sexuality. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're struggling badly. But I want to just broaden our application here and just say, whatever in your life, whatever, outside of gender and sexuality or maybe in that, if you're departed from God's design at all, come back to Jesus. Come back to him. Find God's good design for you. You will never regret doing what God has called and created you to do. You will not regret it. Follow Jesus. Give your life to him. If you're already a child of God, come back to him, and he will welcome you as any loving father does to their child. He will welcome you back, and he will be so joyful that you've come to him. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, God can save you from your sins and show you his good design and help you become all you were called and created to be. It's not just so that you can live a better life on this earth. By the way, you can. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. But much more than that, it's so you can escape the judgment and penalty for your sin. We've been in deep in the book of Revelation. We're just learning how much God hates sin, and his judgment will be poured out on sin. But Jesus can rescue you from that. So we're going to sing a song of response. We just want to just soak in the love of God for your life. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, come experience the love of God. Come be saved from your sin. Come be made new, and come discover all that you can be in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in God's good design. If God's leading you to make any sort of spiritual decision, whatever that might be, come talk to one of our pastors. As we sing, it's a time for everyone to respond. Come respond. If God's leading, come respond. If God's calling you to make any sort of decision, or if you just simply need prayer, come respond. Listen and obey as God works in your heart. You can respond even where you sit or stand as we sing, but we want to invite you to come. Come talk to one of our pastors. We want to encourage you. If for some reason you don't come, come find us after the service. But don't wait. Come as we sing. Just come as God is leading. Respond. Listen to God's good design and good plans for your life. Join me now in prayer as we prepare to sing.